Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Not all monsters are under the bed. Some are sleeping next to you. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Well, if you're in the market for a new Long Island home, there's one that's going up on the market. If you want to find it, probably at a pretty good price. The home of Rex Huerman, the former home of Rex Huerman and Asa Elrup, the Massapequa Park home that we've seen be raided now twice, and all sorts of stories coming out of that basement. It's going to be for sale very soon. I checked the Zillow listing just the other day. Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Is there any amount of money that you would take this house for and live in it?
Man, and you did a lot of ghost stories before. I'd much rather live in the house from Amityville Horror than that house.
Right down the road, actually. It's not far.
I know. It is crazy, isn't it? Oh, my God. I hate laughing about things like this, but as soon as you, it's like, no, and I'm a pretty pragmatic guy. I'm not a hooky spooky spy guy on this kind of stuff, but no, I'm not going anywhere near that place because, you know, every couple of years, I think someone's going to be tearing it apart for more evidence. That's really what's going to happen.
Well, that's true. I mean, that the reality of this is if you do buy this house, it can still be raided. I mean, they can still go.
BTK.
Yeah.
His house, his barn, all the stuff they keep finding there, he's got shit buried all over the place.
The house is gone. I mean, it's just it's a blank slate, and they're digging up things and finding things. Yeah, this is a house where I think, you know, you would have to gut it, number one, if you're going to, like, do anything to it. And I'd be kind of afraid. I don't know how much the FBI has actually gutted the house. I mean, I know they went in, they did check pipes, they cut some drywall and such, but it's a lot of house. I mean, you'd really have to pull everything apart when the FBI went into this thing. Do you think they're pulling down drywall or that they did do that to that extent in this basement? Or was it more, hey, you know, we got to kind of look only, you know, where we think we might find stuff?
Yeah, they got to be very specific on where they're going to look. Because that's what goes on the subpoena that goes to the judge, and they got to be very specific on those areas they're going to look, why they're going to look there, what's the justification for looking there, because otherwise you wind up tearing an entire house apart, which is not in her rights. You know, it's also her house as well, so they got to be very specific on it. I would, you know, the only person I can think buying this place would be like Peacock Network. For filming, for an attraction. I mean, who knows? I mean,
it is. It's a morbid thing. Morbid. Yeah. Murder tourism is a thing.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is. But this is make it a halfway house for people getting out. I mean, there's a few things you could do with it. But when it comes to a residential house.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested in the people that would buy it.
I would say another thing. Yeah, I mean, what's the reasoning? And I looked at it on Zillow and then Google Earth just yesterday. It stands out in the neighborhood like a sore thumb. It does not. The rest of the neighborhood, very nice, kept up. This thing looks like it does not belong there whatsoever. Which again, another weird thing considering he's an architect and makes supposedly fairly decent money, but they're going to be moving to another location. The fact that they are finally moving and they're getting out of this home after two raids, after all of the accusations, all the things that we saw being hauled out of there, does it speak to their belief, you think, in the guilt or innocence of Rex? Or is it just, you know, they're done being harassed in this home that stands out?
I really think so differently on these things, Tony, and I apologize for that.
No.
So I'm literally thinking pragmatically about it. I'm not. Yeah. So I remove Rex from this entire scenario. I'm thinking in terms of here's a woman that from outward appearances hasn't made a lot of the decisions in this household. It's always been him in charge. And mm-hmm. so for the first time, she's having to make decisions on housing and everything. And so I think the combination, again, a pragmatic approach is, you know, one, she's learning how to make decisions independently from him because they've been married a long time and he's very controlling from everything we've seen from in social media and whatnot. So she's having to make a lot of decisions on her own. She's got kids she's still caring for. And now she's maybe finally got some finances coming in, maybe, you know, from, you know, because remember, once you sign a contract with Peacock, doesn't mean all of a sudden someone's cutting you a $1 million check. Mm-hmm. You know, you get installments on these things. And so I think pragmatically, she finally is in a position where she learned how to make decisions. She knows how to house hunt and look for a place to live and now has actually the financial means to do it. So I'm kind of on the side of, I don't think his guilt or innocence played into this. I think it was pragmatically, this is the first opportunity that she could really do it in any sense of the word.
Should this house even be for sale? Should the FBI or some government entity step in and go, no, this is a crime scene or this was a crime scene. And this thing's not going anywhere until this trial is over. I mean, similar, you know, we saw it in the Murdaugh. They did the little field trip over there.
Yep.
I know the home in the Koberger case is gone now, but it may be a place that they do want to take a jury at some point. We don't know when this trial is going to happen. Very likely not next year, considering how many people keep being, you know, found. So this is still likely going to be a little ways out. Should this house be going anywhere? Or should it just be kind of like kept as a little time capsule until this case is wrapped up?
I would like that. I think it makes a lot of sense to do that. I don't know the laws behind doing mm-hmm. that. So I think that's what's going to be ruling it on this one, you know, because just like in the Koberger case, having that jury being able to walk through that house and those rooms would have made a huge impact on that case when it does go. But I think them doing it in the Murdaugh case was fantastic. I think being able to have juries walk the grounds of these things where they took place is really paramount in, you know, especially for prosecution, you know, when you're trying to, you know, give the emotional impact of what was actually happening in those moments to make it really intangible to the people involved. But again, I don't know the financially and legally whether they're able to do that or not, but it's too bad because I really think this house should be kept for quite a while.
Yeah, longer. I mean, it's I don't know how that all works in terms of what authority they would have to stop someone. I mean, that is like, you know, a good chunk of your, you know, estate, I'm sure, owning this property. So to say it's frozen, you can't touch it, to someone who has not been charged with any sort of the crime, can that be done? Even though, I mean, it could be a crime scene. If you're in the house, let's say it does sell, somebody's like, okay, I'm going to do a fixer upper. We're going to get down here. We're going to start ripping apart the walls. How quickly before it becomes a crime scene again? What do they have to find for this thing to suddenly be, oh, we better stop everything?
Yeah, well, it would take, you know, more evidence popping up somewhere, another body popping up somewhere that, you know, that draws them back to that house, looking in another mm-hmm. wall, looking someplace in the yard, looking in a piece of concrete. I mean, so anything that's going to, any evidence that's found on another body or through another witness mm-hmm. or more testimony that draws it back to the house from a place that they haven't looked before is going to create another subpoena by a judge. It's going to give them, so no matter who owns the house, it doesn't matter. It's going to allow them to then go back in and re-tear that thing apart in an area they haven't looked in before, if they haven't. So that's what I think is the peril of whoever's going to buy it.
At this point, I mean, they've gone in it twice. What do you think they need to go through it again anymore? Do you think they've gotten everything they need? Could there be something else in another filing here that would be to come in a superseding indictment where they need to go back in and take another look and another reference point at something? Or do you think they've already gathered everything they need at this point?
They've gathered everything they need today, mm-hmm. but if nothing else, the BTK killer shows us, you know, and these serial killers, man, they are, the thing with a serial killer is they're trophy collectors. And this guy's also, from what we've heard, this house is a hoarder's house. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of potential, maybe not today, but tomorrow kind of stuff that comes up. You know, I mean, just think about this. So again, we'll put our thought hat on here and projection out. So say he winds up being the killer, he winds up being convicted, and he's sitting in jail for the rest of his life or on death row. you know, much like some of these other serial killers that are going to try to get an angle for leverage, for notoriety, you know, he might have drips of leakage that come out. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I didn't tell you this before, but, you know, in the drain pipe, you know, that is 5 miles, you know, mm-hmm. 5 feet removed from the foundation that you didn't even know was. I mean, so all these kind of drips over time.
Yeah.
So today they think they have everything because if they didn't, they'd have another subpoena. But again, subpoenas are based on evidence and facts that come in that give the judge, you know, the desire to sign it to go in again. And so as of today, they have everything they think they need. But who knows what tomorrow brings?
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know for what they exactly. need. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial-free, with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.